Place to Be Nation, welcome to what will be episode number 28 of NWA Crock and Roll. I am your host, Sean Kidd, but before you listen to the proper episode, which full transparency, we recorded a few weeks ago, just a few things I would like to share with you. And joining me for this is my co-host on NWA Crock and Roll, who actually isn't on episode number 28 proper because he had an assignment in the field, but he is joining me for this announcement, so to speak. Colin McDougall, how are you doing, Colin?
I'm very good, Sean. How are you?
I am good. Pretty excited to talk about this. And I know since we already recorded the next episode, I thought it'd be good just for us to get on and chat a little bit about some different things. It's kind of like we've, what do they call wrestling? The Forbidden Door a little bit, where they do some cross-function stuff. So for anybody who's listening, we obviously our home base here is on Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. We have been here now a little over 18 months now. We are on episode number 28. Obviously, episode number one, we started with April of 85 on this podcast. Colin has been here with me since the beginning. But about a month and a half ago, had somebody reach out to me from the Wrestling Index website, which is a website which not only has news and things, et cetera, but what also it has is a bunch of different wrestling pods that they put together and they put into one spot. So people that want to go in and check the news, they also promote some wrestling pods on there. And they reached out to me and said, hey, we would love to put your podcast over here on the Wrestling Index. And so we've been going back and forth, you know, obviously talked to Scott, who runs the Place to Be Nation wrestling family here, and to get his okay. And we can now firmly announce that we are also over on the Wrestling Index feed and website. So, Colin, any thoughts on that as we kind of have a broader audience now? We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And we'll also, for those that might be new to Place to Be Nation, we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so welcome anyone who's new to listening to the Crock and Roll podcast. This is an excellent opportunity for us, certainly. It's, the Place to Be Wrestling we've sort of grown over the last, certainly the last couple of years, but in the last year or so, because of everything that's gone on, we've sort of grown even beyond what we thought was possible about a year to 18, or almost 2 years ago now. Quite strange that it started with from a humble podcast with two guys to where we're now multinational.
By the way, two guys that this has been, 10 years, I think, they just celebrated at this point, 2011, yeah. I think?
Yeah, last February. February just passed, yeah.
Yep.
Two guys who just wanted to get their opinion across, and now we've gone... anyone who is obviously listening just now knows that myself and Sean probably don't live the closest to each other. But it's grown into something special. It's grown into something really, really good, and we're glad that we can expand even further. So welcome anyone who's listened to us for the first time.
Yeah, so for those from first off, I would like to thank Tim at Wrestling Index for reaching out and putting this over there on the website for those of you that are listening from Wrestling Index, or those of you that might want to check out Wrestling Index. They have a ton of pods over there, very similar to Place to Be Nation, which we'll talk about in a minute for those that are new to Place to Be Nation, with reviews, news results, current wrestling, past wrestling, old school wrestling, just a real potpourri of, he's got a real cool collective of wrestling pods over there to select from that are from different feeds, different, like, it's just cool kind of like bringing everyone together. It's almost like a summit of maybe wrestling pods that might not a lot of people know about, because obviously everybody knows the wrestling pods like Conrad and things like that, the mainstream ones, but there are a lot of good ones out there that aren't as mainstream. So it's kind of cool that there's a website out there that actually brings all that together. So thank you, Tim and Wrestling Index, for having us, and Wrestling Index, we're very, very happy to be over there. But I also thought we'd take a minute to talk about Place to Be Nation Wrestling. So you heard Colin talk a little bit about, it started with two guys, that would be Scott and JT, who created Place to Be Nation, and started with the Mothership, which is a Place to Be Nation podcast where they were doing old school reviews, they were doing sporting things, and now they still have the Mothership. They're fastly approaching episode number 600, They were doing old school. I think they were, their timeline just ended for WWF 92. And I think they're getting ready to start 2007. So really, really great podcast, 600 episodes. That's what started on. It's kind of grown from there. And Place to Be Nation, it's kind of have its own family now, has a website, a lot of pods here on the wrestling feed. It's actually splintered off a lot of sister feeds as well. But from a Place to Be Nation wrestling standpoint, we'll start with Crock and Roll first. So again, we started this about 18 months ago, and it came out of an idea that there used to be a podcast on this network called Where the Big Boys Play. And then they kind of stopped and had gone for a while. And then the network added good old-fashioned Crockett Wrestling to the network. And I had this idea coming out of a other podcast as well that is on this feed called the NWA Saturday Special, which looks at current NWA. And I went to Colum and my other co-host, Dr. G, who's on that other podcast, and said, hey, I would love to do a Crockett pod. And I'd really like to start it in April 85 and kind of do a timeline watch. Are you guys in? So we kind of started from there. And here we are. You know, we had the summer. This past summer, we lost the network because we didn't have we had to wait for Peacock. So we did kind of a summer special. We looked at wrestlers before they were in Crockett. We looked at Houston wrestling. We looked at matches we didn't watch. But the other thing that's really cool that's come out of this podcast, we all love wrestling. We all love Jim Crockett Promotions. Colum is kind of getting to know it a little bit. We just added an official fourth member, Scott Shiflett, who's never even watched this stuff with us. He's watching it now. But it's also kind of sprung some storytelling and insights of its own. You got, you know, Dr. G, his little saying about people being good hands. You got Colum's really big, huge hate of Wahoo McDaniel. All our hate for Jimmy Valiant. Our love for the Andersons. I think it's like it's almost sprung its own kind of storylines and kind of within the pod we do, don't you think, Colum?
I think so. The Wahoo thing was just seemed to like it seems that the Jimmy Valiant one in 1985 is fairly obvious that, well, to me anyway, that I don't take any enjoyment from it. But the Wahoo one came. It was almost like I can't remember what episode number it was. It is in the archives, Place to Be Nation, placetobe.podbean.com. The Crock and Roll archives are on there. I don't know if they'll go on the wrestling index, but it was sort of a heel turn for me because I was last to review Wahoo versus Ric Flair from Florida. I think was it the first Battle of the Belts?
Battle of the Belts, yeah, Battle of the Belts 1. Conveniently, we're about to record Battle of the Belts 2 in a few weeks, but yes, Battle of the Belts 1.
And you and G gushed over it. Matt Souza, who was our fourth horseman that night, gushed over it, and I came out with a 1.75 star. And it just all went from there. So it's leading up to the big face time where I watch a Wahoo match, which I'll give 5 stars at some point.
Yeah, so there's just we have a lot of fun on this pod. We make fun of stuff. We love stuff. We watch matches. It's just a fun pod to do. The plan is to take it through December of 88, when we Crockett sells it off, and then we'll see where we go from there. But as of right now, this recording, we're just jumping into January part 86 of part 2 is the one you're going to listen to now. And we got a long way to go. We just start 1986, so we still got a really almost full three years to go. So we'll still be here for a while. But also on this pod feed, though, are a lot of great other podcasts. Colum does another one called Special Relations with him. A gentleman named Ben and a gentleman named Rory. They're all across the pond. Colum is in Scotland, where they talk wrestling and just things in general, which is really good. You got the Mothership, like we talked about. You got Highway to the Impact Zone, which is on hiatus right now because one of our hosts, Logan, is about to have a baby. You got YouTube Roulette, where a group of us just randomly pop up once a month and watch matches on YouTube that are hardly ever talked about and talk about those matches. I'm trying to think. Colum, what else am I missing on here? Just to give people a perspective of all the things they have here on Place to Be Nation.
You've got we're bi-weekly. You've got the weekly NWA Saturday Special, as you mentioned earlier on, where every Saturday morning, Dr. G, our Crock and Roll horseman, and Scott will talk modern day NWA, previewing or reviewing the last week and giving some updated news and notes. Every month there's Talking WCW, where it's Jenny, Tim and Greg on that one. They sort of focus on and highlight one wrestler a month, or sometimes one concept. It's, they have had like a War Games episode before, and they'll just, they'll each pick a match and they'll talk about it. That's always good fun. And then there's PTB NXT as well, where Jenny and Tim do it with Jake, and they go through they've gone through the network era NXT, so they're still going through. I think they're in late 2014 now, or they may just be about to tip into to early 2015. So it's getting good, but you've not got any of the big names yet. So I'm trying to think on the last episode. I don't think they've quite reached Finn Balor debuting yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that'll give you sort of an idea of what that is. So there's something that there is one thing that I certainly take pride in on the Wrestling Network is there is something for everyone. You don't need to, you may not like everything that's on there, you might not, hopefully you will, but if you don't, that should deter you from listening to it, because there is something for everyone.
Absolutely. So again, welcome everybody who might be new to our podcast from Wrestling Index. We're very happy to be over on Wrestling Index. For those of you that listen on PTBN, give the Wrestling Index website and the pod feed over there a listen to as well. A lot of great pods over there as well. So we hope you guys enjoy what you hear. Check out some of those other podcasts we mentioned. There's probably a bunch we missed as well, Colm, but a lot to pick from here on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed here. So please give everyone a shout, and let's share the love a little bit with all the wrestling pods that might not be mainstream but are still great content. So with that, I am Sean. He is Colm. We are going to jump right now into January Part 2, which is episode number 27 of NWA Crack and Roll.
High back drop. Look out. It's Tully and Arn Anderson. Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson both are here.
They both take him. What are they going to do? They drive him. They hold him. They've got him. Rick now starts to chop on him. Right to the throat. Back and forth. Look at Rick. Look at Rick now. Taking that shoe off.
Just humiliating.
Here comes Sam.
Dusty Rhodes is at ringside. He went down.
Rick down. That's not him, all right. Hands of stone.
Ric Flair, look, David, he is down. He is up.
This man, the hands of stone, Ron Garvin.
Ronnie.
Place to Be Nation Wrestling, welcome to episode number 28 of NWA Crock and Roll. We are doing our second part of January 86, starting with January 18th. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and I am joined, as always, by Dr. G. Dr. G, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. We're enjoying good old January 86, although it's a little tough not having, you know, Colm around, wow, I'm telling you, this is when stuff really heats up. This is prime Crockett time right now. I mean, this year I think it's going to be the best year of the years that we cover. But wow, I mean, if you want to see things that are top notch, and it's just amazing to me how much of a better show they were putting on than WWF. But wow,
very different.
I wish we had some of these storylines today.
Yeah, very, very different product at the time, right? This is more of a sense of realism, and in the WWF, you would say cartoony, most people would say, but
it was, yeah. And we enjoyed both at that time. So I'm not ripping WWE, but it was just it just now as an adult now, I just, wow, these storylines were just phenomenal. They were doing reality TV before it became big. I know that they credit Bischoff because of NWO, but you know, some of this stuff with the Horsemen, I thought was pretty good, just as good as some of that stuff we saw back in the late 90s.
Amen. I agree with you. And join, just like our last episode, it'll be here with us permanently, Scott Shiflett. Scott, you made it through your first full episode, so how are you enjoying the ride so far?
Oh, my God. Like, as Dr. G was saying, it's just amazing television that we're watching right now. The storylines are so great. And, like, Dr. G brought up a good point, like, comparing it to now a little bit. Like, you know, WWF at the time and WWE is, like, known little kitty and everything, but this was, like, in your face. Like, you know, last episode we saw Baby Doll getting slapped in the face and, like, you know, more like one of the, like, for the teenager, like, it might be for, like, the teenagers and for the adult crowd that we're seeing, like, NWA, and that's what we're seeing with AEW right now. So it's a nice little time capsule that's 35 years ago, which is pretty interesting how wrestling is cyclical.
That's a good way of putting it. And, you know, but that's, you know, we were talking about in the last episode that Sean was saying about he gets a little bit with the Jimmy Valiant character. Well, there you go. There's, you know, your character for the kids. You know, like the you could tell the younger kids were more into, you know, Jimmy Valiant. He was more, he was kind of part of storylines, but he wasn't as serious as some of the other storylines that are going on with, you know, Tully and Magnum and Tully and Dusty. So he's part of that, but he's not the big part of that. And I think that's – so you had a little bit of everything for everyone in the NWA, whereas you could tell the WWF was really gearing more towards the kids or the younger generation.
I am beginning to accept the Jimmy Valiant role of the Crockett era. He, you know, he's always someone you could throw into something quick to get quick heat on a heel. And I even though, yes, I despise his matches and, yes, he drives me nuts, I'm starting to kind of accept his role a little bit, kind of like I'm starting to accept that Wahoo may not be as good as I want him to be, even though we're going to get more Wahoo in 86. That might make me like him again. I'm accepting the Valiant and Valiant thing, and maybe eventually Colin, since he's not here, will accept the Wahoo thing, although I doubt he ever will because he hates him so much. But that is what it is, and he's not here to say anything about it, so we'll move on. So we are going to January 18th of 1986. And we are going to the WCW Saturday Night Show. So a few things on this episode, then we'll jump over to January 25th. So we're going to open it up with a Russians promo. And if you remember in our last episode, we had that great PWI segment that kind of went out with a turd on the Ron Garvin stuff. But the majority of it was Magnum TA talking about his list of challengers for the United States title. And kind of the opening shot fired, I guess, on Nikita becoming his top challenger, saying that he sees him as his biggest threat. And this is really, if you think about it, we're in January, so February, March, April, May, June. So 6 month build, we're going to get to this best of seven feud that we all know and we all love, which I'm kind of excited to see how this plays out. So we have the Russians. And by the way, we also need to mention, if you remember in our last episode, that Crusher Khrushchev broke his leg in his Mid-Atlantic title match against Sam Houston. So we'll see how they covered here. So we open up with Nikita coming out in a very bright yellow shirt, and he's holding a magazine, and Ivan is behind him holding the six-man trophy. Tony says in Sports Illustrated, Nikita's name is named as a Sportsman of the Year in the magazine that he's holding. Nikita goes into, I don't see the Road Warrior's name. I don't see Flair's name. I don't see TA's name. And I don't care what you stinky Americans think about the super Russian athlete Nikita Koloff. He was voted in the top five. Uncle Ivan says I should have been voted number one, but because of prejudice and judges, it goes to an American. And he talks about losing to due to American interference. Then he talks about the Road Warriors won some more, that they want to take this, that we lose a prestigious title in a Mid-Atlantic title due to the lack of ability because of stupidity. Crusher Khrushchev had Skinny Sam Houston defeated, but because of the Road Warriors, he lost the title. Road Warriors say they will find partners, either Magnum TA or Dusty Rhodes, to take away the six-man trophy. You call us weasels. You think you have won the battle, but as far as the war, we will put you out of wrestling. Then Paul Jones interrupts and says, on behalf of himself and all the fans in the world, They are very sympathetic to what happened to Crusher Khrushchev, which this is really out of the left field. And then he wants to offer services of somebody that want to face the American. I offer you the services of the greatest German wrestler in the world, the master of the claw, Baron von Raschke, who is a big AWA staple. So again, we've seen him in the ring. I don't know if this is necessarily the trade-off we want. We kind of shit on Khrushchev, but I don't know if we're going to get much better than here. Ivan thanks Jones and says, having Baron here is a great honor. And then he runs off all these credentials throughout the world. And he's from East Germany. And then he basically says that they look forward to taking on all comers for the six-man trophy. So, Dr. G, I will go to you first. First off, Nikita Koloff in 1986 being in the top five of the athletes in Sports Illustrated, and the addition of Baron von Raschke to trade off for Khrushchev. What'd you think?
I love the whole Sports Illustrated thing. That's great. That's Nikita. And, you know, when I watch it now, I'm like, dude, I can't believe we actually really thought that he was Russian.
When we were kids, right? I thought I thought they were all Russian, even Khrushchev and his American accent. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, Khrushchev I got because, you know, like he was like this American turncoat kind of thing. But the other two, I thought they were both Russian, at least Ivan. And he wasn't either. So it's just it's amazing how they actually kept how they didn't slip when they were doing an interview, you know, with the accent. Because that's not easy to do, you know, like you. But I guess, you know, I know Nikita truly lived the character. That's why he even changed his name, you know, in real life to Nikita. But the whole thing with what's his name? Baron von Raschke. Oh my gosh, that guy looked like he was 60 when he was 40. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. It's just like you said, we could be wrestlers, really. With, I mean, come on, that guy's just, I mean, he looked like he had an old man's body. I mean, it was horrible. I like what's scary about that? Like, there was nothing intimidating about him, you know, that he was going to be part of, you know, like, you know, Paul Jones is going to have him be a part of their group or help him out.
He was 45 here, Dr. G. 45.
That was 45. He looked 85.
He was 45.
No, he legitimately looked at least in his 60s there. I mean, wow. So, I mean, their promos are amusing, the Russians, but the whole thing with Baron von Raschke kind of ruined the whole thing for me, to be honest. I didn't get it. And honestly, I don't even remember this. I don't remember Baron von. I remember him being in the NWA at this time, but I don't remember him being a big part of this feud. I don't know if he winds up even being a bigger part of this feud.
We may see how this plays out on the six-man title, unfortunately. I mean, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, they might have just brought him in to do the job. But you never know. We'll have to see how it plays out. Let's see how it plays out. Scott, what did you think of this promo with the Russians and with Baron von Raschke?
First off, Nikita Koloff's shirt in this needs to be sold on Pro Wrestling Tees, because I would be buying one, because that looked awesome. I hope it's true that Sports Illustrated was going to name you Sportsman of the Year. That I love when that happens.
He was in the top five, but he lost to the Americans, which is why he was shitting on them in the promo. So.
And Paul Jones coming out looking like he's like a waiter at a nice restaurant. I thought he was about to take the Koloff's order. But as Dr. G was saying, Baron von Raschke, they look like they just got him. He was like a crypt keeper, and they just pulled him out of the crypt. The man, there's no way he's 45, Sean. Is he still alive? I want to know what he looks like now.
Is he still alive is a great question. He is still alive, yes.
Because his face looks like the Thing from Fantastic Four.
Wait a minute. He can't still. Hang on a minute. He's born in 1940. So, yeah, I guess he's still alive. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Crusher Khrushchev getting hurt, but this is a downgrade somehow. And I was shitting on Crusher Khrushchev last episode, but they somehow found someone worse than him.
Yeah,
because
I mean, could they find some random guy to just be a Russian that wasn't Baron von Raschke? I feel like it would have been a better trade-off.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so yeah, so that's where they're going to Solid Four. Crusher Khrushchev's gone. They have a six-man title, Solid Four. They got Baron Von Raschke there, and obviously they're selling to Road Warriors and a partner, either TA or Dusty Rhodes, to go after the six-man title. So then we go into a promo with Arn. And earlier on the show, Dusty Rhodes' doctor actually came on and says Dusty no longer needs his boot. So we're in January. He's had the boot on since October. Tony says Arn is concerned about what we heard from the doctor on that boot. Arn says he prides himself on not coming out and making a fool of himself, but he is furious. He's talked to doctors and lawyers and intelligent people. Dusty Rhodes had a broken leg, but leading doctor in sports medicine today, Dusty Rhodes' doctor, has cleared him from wearing it. Now he wears it as a weapon, right or wrong. Jim Cocker Promotion hasn't done anything about it. He intentionally hurt Ole with it, kicked the steel toes, like a 20-ton piece of steel on your foot, like, which had me laugh because there's no way it was a 20-ton piece of steel on Dusty's foot. you get kicked by it, and you'll be at his rate as I am. Nothing more than a weapon. I demand something be done and get the boot off. And they want to lock me in the cage like some kind of animal with that loaded Dusty Rhodes boot. He goes, I'm telling you, David Crockett, doctor, check your memory. Last time you were in a cage with Arn, what happened? Run through that through your mind. So basically he's threatening Dusty and saying, remember the last time you were in a cage with me? I broke your fucking leg, you fat bastard. That's basically what he's saying. So Scott, what'd you think of this nice, quick Arn promo?
No, my man's just killing it. Like, you know, I love how he's threatening. And this is where Crockett keeps saying, you got 5 days, right? Or is that, no, that's another promo. Sorry.
That's another one coming up soon.
Yeah. But yeah, just so great. And like, I love how, like, they point out that the babyface Dusty was cheating and that he can no longer cheat. But the way they're doing it, they're still making themselves be booed. And it's just a masterful act.
Yeah, Arn, the great thing about heels and the great thing about Arn, they believe in what they're saying. In some cases, what they're saying is true. So he is very heel, full-on heel here, but he's actually making total sense in what he's talking about. Dr. G, what'd you think?
Agreed. I love it. And I love how they become the victims when they originally was the ones that broke Dusty, you know, hurt Dusty's ankle. And now they're turning it around like they're the ones that are getting wrong. I love it. It just, again, the realism of it and the way Arn handles it and just some of the things he says, and it's just the off the cuff things that he says, and he just does it so well. And even if he messes up something, it's still funny and you still believe it. It's like he's flawless. I didn't realize how, you know, you always heard Arn's a good promo, but as I'm watching this stuff and really we're, you know, really digging deep into this. Into this era, he's really just phenomenal. I mean, I know he doesn't get mentioned in the top five, you know, promos of all time, but
he's pretty close to that.
If he's not, yeah. If he's not there, he's close. Let's put it that way. Definitely top 10.
I agree, and I like how he's selling the boot, and he's talking about being locked in a cage with him and threatening Dusty about what I did last time when you're in a cage. Like, this is just good stuff. And I'm with you, Arn. Arn is easily probably for me. I know we got the greatest wrestlers in the WCW NWA history coming up towards the end of the year for the list this year. Arn, I don't know, might easily be in my top five for me. He's been killing it since April 85 and he continues to kill it here. So we'll see how this plays out with the whole boot saga. But we're going to move on to our next segment. And this is actually the final segment that I wanted to talk about because this is a big deal. This one, it's about 10 minutes long. It involves Ron Garvin and Ric Flair and a cast of characters. So Garvin's out with Tony. Tony says, Flair knows you are here today, Ron Garvin. Garvin says, I understand you have to wait your line and take your turn. I know I'm in line. People want Ric Flair in 1986. Dusty Rhodes is one of them. And Dusty makes it risky business. As this risky business, it cracks me up. Risky business for Ric Flair. I'm one too. So it's double risky. Garvin says he proved his point. And then they went back and they showed the match from December that we talked about on the 28th, which was one of the best matches we've ever seen on the show. Then we come back. Tony says, Garvin can go toe-to-toe with Ric Flair. Garvin says, Ric Flair actually comes out and shoves Tony out of the way, and he gets to Garvin's face, and they butt heads, which is an amazing, amazing visual. And basically, it ends up in the ring. They get into a fight. They go back and forth, and in the end, Garvin actually knocks out Ric Flair. And David Crockett here is freaking absolutely – I mean, this is just amazing, amazing stuff. He's surrounded by – at the end of the day, he's surrounded by Sam, T.A., and Dusty Rhodes. Garvin says, look, he's out. The world champion is out here bragging. I told you it was risky business. This is what it means. I tell you we're ready. And then we go to break. We come back. Tony says we are here with two very irate men. And by the way, in this whole thing, David Crockett got knocked out. So I didn't want to – I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that David got hurt in this whole thing, which was even better. Tony says we come back. And JJ says it was a cheap shot. It took four men to do it, like a pack of wolves, to try to degrade the world champion and the four horsemen. This is Alliance is trying to pick us off. Dusty says he doubts Garvin's fists are hands of stone. But Dusty Rhodes was out here with that boot. And this is just all just fantastic, fantastic angle that got over again. Garvin as a top face to go after Flair. Flair's knocked out. Dusty Rhodes says Tully says Dusty Rhodes will get what's coming to him. And this is how we end the show. So this whole angle, I didn't go line by line, but ultimately the faces versus the heels, the Ron Garvin narrative of being the top face after being in that terrible PWI segment, knocks out the world champion, and it's a huge angle. Furious heels, faces brag. Dr. G, what did you think of this whole thing? I thought it was amazing and absolutely well done.
Amazing stuff. And there you go. Now you insert Garvin into all this. It's just, again, I love the way
again.
They intertwine all the storylines, but it ultimately really leads to one thing, which is everybody really wants the world championship. That's the main thing. But it's Garvin knocking out Flair, the crowd just losing it. I mean, it just, the whole thing was just done perfectly in regards to the announcing, the promos, the attack. It just totally well done. And you're watching this at home, and even at that time, you'd be like, wow, you just can't wait to see what's going to happen next week, just because of the way they left you, not hanging, but just wanting to see more. And wow, just good stuff all around. I enjoyed how they made Ronnie Garvin's, he did have, the hands of stone. That was his, his moniker, and how they utilized that big, right hand at the right time. It wasn't every time that he was, yes, in some matches he would do it, but like when they're setting up a storyline, they used it perfectly in this instance. And again, it shows, oh my gosh, could Ric Flair actually lose the championship to this guy? They always did that. And that's because, everybody wanted to chase the world champion, and they loved making the world champion look vulnerable at times. So this way they knew the faces had a shot at possibly beating him. And so when you wanted to go out to the matches, if it was Ron Garvin versus Ric Flair, you want to pay for that match because you're like, well, could this be the night that Ric Flair loses the championship?
Yeah, it's just good stuff with Ron Garvin. It's so funny. He is the real nature boy based on that PWI segment, but it's so bizarre. it's so bizarre that he has this banger match with Flair on the 28th. We don't really revisit it until the tonight, which is the 18th. But in between, they had that really terrible segment of PWI. It's like, what are they trying to do with Garvin here? They want to make him look like a badass that can be Flair. At the same time, they're trying to humanize him as a face a kid could get around. So just really bizarre booking, but I love this. Scott, what did you think?
Oh, I loved it as well, Sean. I'm glad we got to see the highlights of their match, where we originally have a chop battle, and we have another chop battle as they battle all through the set. I love Tully and Arm running out, and just quick as a button, Garvin takes out Flair and does his little he sits on him, which is like insult to injury, which they say that's what Garvin does when he knocks out his opponents, is he just sits on him like king in the castle. And I love how then with the promo, Tully calls out Garvin, Arn threatens them, and I got the first hint of War Games here.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's something. And like, this is crazy because we're in January and I'm pretty sure Great American Bash is in June. So this is like five or six months of booking right here. And we saw that with Magnum with the PWI segment and everything. And it's just, this was just amazing. I got chill bumps twice during this watch for this week's episode. This was the first time.
Yeah.
This was good stuff because this is where you see now you're saying Arn, you know, making the threatening remarks. This is where he got his name, the Enforcer. He was the one always kind of – he was the tough guy of the group. You know, like he always threatened somebody. He was always, you know, throwing out that challenge. You know, even though there would be times he'd be that chicken shit heel, but for the most part in the group, that's why they called him the Enforcer. He was the one that was going to talk tough and back it up.
Hey, one thing I want to add about that, about this promo with the heels at the end, a great line by Arn. He's so angry and he feels like Flair's his family. Arn goes, I take this as a personal insight on my family. And he says, if I put your baby in a stroller and push him down a mountain, how would you, take it personally? I thought that was fantastic. Like he's like on fire. Yeah, like there is no better promo than Arn Anderson. I will, in this, I don't care if it's Flair. I don't care if it's Tully. When it comes to reality promos and just speaking it how it is in terms of how maybe a real person would talk, it's Arn Anderson. It is.
And even when he messes up, if he even messes up a word or something like that, it just comes off so real you don't even care.
Yeah, it's just so good. But all right, so that ends 118, and we're going to transfer right to January 25th, Saturday Night Show. And we kick it off with Arn promo. So Tony's with Arn, and Arn's out with the TV title around his waist, and again the national tag around his shoulder. Arn is smiling and says, "He goes, you heard what we had heard. He talks about what about the boot." And Arn says, "The bottom line is that he bumps into people's bathrooms and malls. Dusty's, I'm going to break your leg, and Dusty, this is that. Get because." He says he's going to take him out. Dusty, like everyone else likes to do, just runs his mouth. What's he going to do? And talks about the national tag team titles. And David Crockett knows what he did to Ole. I've known my whole life Ole will be back shortly, and we will go back to being the national tag team champions. But I'm excited. And David Crockett, you overbearing, obnoxious individual, you got a letter I want you to read here on the air. So he's totally shitting on Crockett. He gives me immense gratification. So David Crockett smiles a little bit. Arn says, will you please read it and listen to this, Dusty Rhodes. Arn starts reading it. It's basically Bob Geigel saying that there's 10 points to this letter. And the gist of the letter is Dusty Rhodes can no longer wear the special boot. It's illegal. And that's the ruling out of one of the best friends of Dusty Rhodes out of his mouth, David Crockett. Dusty, my friend, you can't wear that ball peen hammer on your forefoot anymore. You got to go back to being a regular guy wearing regular boots. David Crockett gets really shitty here and says, well, you even had to wear the belt in the first place if you and your family hadn't have broke it. Arn calls him gutless. And again, just another phenomenal promo here from Arn. And this is where David Crockett, Scott mentioned earlier, gets really shitty about five more days on that national tag team titles. And David Crockett is just a pure smug dick here. So, Scott, I will go to you. So a lot of stuff going on here. The letter from Bob Geigel. Dusty takes off the boots. David Crockett says 5 days left on the national title. And a really fun promo that Arn gets to gloat once. I mean, he gets to gloat because he won and he's right. So what'd you think?
I loved it. He said, I made you your best friend read that you can't do this. And like, you know, he's just like a pig in shit, just loving it. He's just great. And like, I love like, you know, I'm surprised that I know. You know, that was his job, that no one took a swing at Crockett, because he got real like loud with like the heels, like, oh, five more days. Like, you know, I would love to see Arn just like backhanding,
well,
like totally.
I think he did get hurt. Did he get hurt in that? I'm trying to remember. He got hurt in some segment. Maybe it wasn't that. I think it was the last segment he got hurt on when they had that big fight. There might be another one that comes up where he gets knocked out and he goes missing for, I don't know. I think it was that one, but he did get knocked out. I think the only time he ever got knocked out was by Nikita before the Bash 85, and that led to that Flair Nikita match at the Bash.
I just would love to see it, like, you know, Arn just paintbrushing, like, and then I'd be driving more for Dusty wanting to do it. It'd been more heel heat. But But yeah, it's just, I love Arn. He was so happy when he made him read. He's like, I'm not going to read these 10 points.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Dr. G, what'd you think of this Arn promo?
I love it. I always, you know, wondered what were they actually, what was it actually on that piece of paper, you know?
Well, it was like, what 10 things could you possibly say about that boot?
Exactly. You know, it's like some memo that had nothing to do with the, you know, the situation. But, I just love the fact that, again, Arn makes it seem real. And he's just like, he's so happy. Look at, I got your best friend here. He's got to read this stuff. And you, there's nothing you could do about it. And and Crockett, you know, he gets tough sometimes, you know, he's goes right back at him. So I agree with you, Scott. I'd love to see him, you know, just a backhand, you know, just to Arn to like prove a point. Honestly, that actually would have been pretty good if he actually kind of attacked him during this, you know, okay, now your best friend now. Not only that, you had to read that letter. Now I'm going to beat the heck out of your best friend now. What are you going to do about it? But no matter what, Arn was just, I have to say, he was on par with all his promos. I mean, he was top notch through all the watches so far. I mean, you know, for this month, just he was at his peak right here.
Amen.
And you know what? We may even see even better. So you know what? I don't even want to say he's really at his peak because it could even get better in the coming months. So
we got a whole lot of Arn Anderson to talk about over the next couple of years on this pod, Dr. G.
And now I didn't realize what a prominent role he had at this time. You know, he always thought of him as a bit player, but wow, he was just seemed like he was almost in every segment. You know, it's just,
yep,
he was there. Again, you gain more of an appreciation of some of these guys watching it through a second time.
Yep. So we got a Dusty and Baby Doll retort. So Dusty comes out and he talks about, you heard earlier about the boot, about that letter from Bob Geigel. He talks about Ric Flair a little bit, talking about, I don't know what Ric Flair wants to do. He wants to dance. He wants to sing. He wants to talk about whatever. Then he makes a penis joke about Flair. And then he goes into talking about, I'm the only one that ever comes out here with a good looking woman. He starts berating Tully and about how he's traded Tully off for a man. Then he goes off into Bob Geigel. You're sitting on your big carcass, sending letters out about me not wearing a boot that I had to wear because of Anderson's and Flair. And then he starts a story about stealing something from someone and something about Bula Bula. And he is just all over the world with this promo. Baby Doll says NWA tries to tell Dusty what to do. It is definitely risky business. And Dusty says, you know it, Jack, and walks away. I don't know what this promo was, Dr. G. This is like one of those Dusty promos where we think he's drunk and he goes all over the place and goes off script. So what did you think of this promo from Dusty? I felt like it was just another giant. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Agreed. Entertaining, because he's just entertaining. That's who he is. But I had no idea where he was going or what he was trying to say there. So that's exactly what I wrote on my sheet here. I was like, I don't really know what he was trying to say here, but he made me laugh, and that's about it.
Bob Geigel sitting on your fat caucus. Scott, what'd you think of this promo?
he was all over the place. I love, like, I don't know if he saw, like, Flair getting dressed, because this is the second time he said he had a small penis this month. And, like, you know, the Bula Bula thing, I don't know where that came from. I rewound the promo 3 times trying to figure out what caused him to say that. The risky business thing, did that come from when, like, the gorilla?
No, I don't know risky angle? Business. No, I think he got it from Risky Business, the movie, because that was kind of the thing in 82. Where it's funny because you're going to see a tag team match coming up in February. Where Dusty and Ron Garvin, their tag team name is the Risky Business Boys. I don't know where he got it from. I think it was from the movie.
Sometimes they just made up things.
Yeah, or maybe he can make up things, or maybe he's like Tom Cruise in Risky Business as he's a pimp and Baby Doll's his hooker. I don't know what he's talking about, Scott. I have no idea. No idea. But Dusty does these once in a while. I think we've had like 4 or 5 of these over the course of this podcast where he comes out, he's drunk, he shits on Flair, does a little bit of realism, and then tries to be funny and walks away, and we're all left confused, but we're still entertained. But he does these a lot, so I had to throw this one in. It's been a while since we've had a crazy Dusty promo with no direction. So, all right, our next promo, which is our final promo of the night, and then we have a match that's going to take us out for the month of January. So a really quick discussion here on the second half of January. So it's Tully and JJ back out. JJ is out in green, and Tully Blanchard says it didn't take long for JJ to get mainstream, and he praises JJ and his fashion. And he says Dusty Rhodes comes out here and tells half truths. It is true. Tully comes out with whole truth. It talks about how he left Baby Doll and something about his mother at a grocery store and went with his father to a gym to train. Said, I don't, just crazy shit. Baby Doll is given the designer jeans, takes designer out and puts on Vanderbilts, but doesn't look like a swan, looks like a brontosaurus. So he shits on Baby Doll. And then he talks about looking confused. He actually needed a moment to rethink what he was talking about, which popped me. He brings up the superstars on a superstation that is coming up on February 7th, which we'll be watching on our next show, actually. And it'll be Dusty versus Tully, without a boot and a whole new game. So it'll be for the, national heavyweight title. Tully says Jimmy Valiant, talks about, being Dusty's, friends that dropped him on his head, on the concrete, and basically talks about he is going to take the national title away from Baby Doll, calls Baby Doll a sheepdog, and then some random woman walks out and just starts kissing Tully, and Tully says he sees all this stuff happening at the airport and lounges all the time, and how can you top that, and he walks away. So really, again, just a promo that went all over the place that was to sell, I guess, the February 7th national title at Superstars on a Superstation, and to sell Tully as a playboy. Dr. G, what did you think of this quick Tully JJ segment?
Tully was good in this promo, but I just, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it like some of his other promos. I don't know if you agree with me on that. I will say
this episode, this 125 episode feels like a lot of filler versus like it's building to the superstars on the superstation, but
right.
It feels really filler and not a lot of stuff that's really happening.
I don't want to say nailing it in, cause that's not the right word, but it just seemed like they, I think they didn't want to advance storylines anymore because of the superstars on the superstation. Mm-hmm. So they were just, like you said, kind of just like filling in the blanks right now, just to kind of get to the next point. But definitely not as, the promos were not as strong as the ones on the previous episodes.
Yeah. I think the Arn promo is the one that stands out the most, talking about, you know, Bob Geigel and I did enjoy Dusty shitting on Bob Geigel.
But... Arn stands out through this whole thing, whole month, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I agree. So this 125 is kind of a filler. It's a little weird and transitioning to the superstars on the superstation of February. Scott,
yeah, I just felt like Tully was just like babbling a little bit.
He was,
you know, like.
You were babbling to get to the woman making out with him at the end. That's what they were going for. Exactly. So go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. The random girl that's kissing Tully is a nice playback because Dusty has said that he never sees women with Rick and Tully. And like them just like totally like pulling this random girl out to make out with him, which was, I was like, okay. I will say JJ did have a great line where he said Baby Doll looks like a Brontosaurus Rex that you talked about, but it just seems like these past two promos were just filler compared to what we've had before.
Yes. Yes. So that actually would have ended our January watch, which I didn't want to leave it on a negative note. So we are going to watch something from February 8th. Mid-Atlantic, and this kind of coincides. So here's how it's going to work for us as we move into our next episode. Next episode, we are going to talk about Superstars on a Superstation from February 7th. And then on the episode after that, we're going to talk about Battle of the Belts 2. So we won't get to the actual February watch until December. So I wanted to bring this up from February 8th Mid-Atlantic because when we come back in December to talk about February, We're gonna pick up on February 15th, which is after the Superstars on the Superstation. But I did not want to miss this match from February 8th Mid-Atlantic because this is an amazing segment. And not only that, it continues to sell. And I feel like this might be the real – we had the Magnum interview and the Koloff interview where he was talking about, you know, Magnum TA talked about Nikita being his really top challenger. Then we had Nikita come out and, you know, talk about he's the Sportsman Illustrated of the Year or the Athlete of the Year. And I feel like this February 8th Mid-Atlantic match we're about to talk about and the angle that follows is the true kickoff to the TA-Nikita feud. So it is from the February 8th Mid-Atlantic. It is Magnum TA versus Ivan Koloff. And Ivan is out, and you don't really typically see Ivan Koloff in these singles matches and main events. It's usually tag teams. But I think this is a great way to kick off what's going to happen here. So Ivan comes out in his Count Dracula cape that he's had since the 1970s, Dr. G, because in the summer when we were doing these podcasts and he was going after, I think it was Bob Backlund, I think he wore the same cape out to that match. Do you remember that?
I do, yep. That's yes. What he was known for back in the 70s.
Yeah, so I thought it was kind of cool. Yeah, I thought that was a kind of a cool throwback that he brought that out, so that was kind of neat. Nikita's out with Ivan, and they hug. Crowd is super hot as they open. As TA grabs the arm and he drops the leg and works the arm on a hammerlock body slam, he lifts Ivan off top rope on a press attempt and Samoa drops him. The crowd is going nuts. And here's what I really appreciate in the commentary. We talk a lot about David Crockett and how he goes nuts in his commentary. But Johnny Weaver in this match, I think, is really, really good in here. He's like really good on commentary and champion, just like David Crockett energy. I thought it was great. The other thing I really enjoyed during this match was Nikita's unhappy reactions at ringside, which I thought were fun. His facials, his expressions as TA was working over Ivan was a lot of fun. TA continues to work the arm of Ivan into the break. When we get back, Ivan's in control. But then it goes back to TA as TA trips him up. You get double knees to the groin, an atomic drop for two, an abdominal stretch, a forearm for two. TA reverses a suplex for another two. He gets a small package. Then Ivan gets a Cobra clutch. And then drops a running body drop on a TA with his neck on the ropes. TA slips out of another clutch and kicks Ivan right in the face with a drop kick. Again, the crowd is going nuts. He gets a belly to belly. And then Nikita runs in for the disqualification. The TA and Nikita go at it. Then Baron runs into the ring. And then Weaver is just going bonkers. So is the crowd. Baron hits TA with a chain. And then he and Ivan... hold TA as Nikita nails him with a sickle, like sick sickle. Nikita wraps the chain around his arm as Baron and they hold up again. Comes off second rope with another sickle. The Dusty runs in and they start fighting. And then he starts taking out Baron and Ivan with elbows. But Nikita takes him down with a chain. The Baby Doll comes in and Nikita's holding her. And then Ivan grabs her by the hair. Nikita goes for her sickle, but in a great thing, Dusty pushes her out of the way. And then he takes Dusty eats the shit out of another sickle. Then the Warriors in Houston run in to make the save. Holy shit, guys. One, the match I thought was about 2.25 stars, but the angle afterwards was legit 5-star, just nuclear heat that I totally think made Nikita a star. So, Scott, I am going to go to you first.
Okay, so I just did this as one whole thing. I went 3.75 stars for the match and
okay,
the angle.
If you added the angle in, you're 100% right. Yes.
Yeah. So that's where all this is. But if I was just doing the match, it'd be closer to where you were. Oh my god, this was so much fun. Even the match, like I wasn't even upset with the match. Like the Magnum was so over. It was just ridiculous. They were popping on everything. It was so great. I will say that Magnum had a nice reversal out of a Cobra clutch that Ivan kept trying to go to. And then we had the belly to belly with Nikita running in. And how I mentioned earlier this episode, how I got chills watching these promos. This is where I got chills for the second time. This was just nuclear. From the thing with Baby Doll to Dusty saving himself. The sickle from the middle rope with the chain wrapped around it was just great. Nikita obviously learned how to jump from the middle rope because Khrushchev did not. I just love that. Nikita came off as a stone cold killer. If Flair wasn't so good, like say if Dusty was the world champ right now, I would say give Nikita the world title. That's how much I am and have Magnum chase. But we still have the four horsemen. That's how stacked this roster is.
Yeah, this is good shit, Dr. G. What did you think?
I went at 3.5. I really love
this segment. So you guys included the angle in
yes.
this?
Yes. I did. All right,
then I'll have to change my rating. I'll probably have to go 3.25 because I can't leave on a 2. I can't do 2.25 because the angle's so great.
I thought the match was better than I expected.
Yes, it was.
Because I wasn't – not that I don't like Ivan, but Ivan was older then. And you know, I know that we have guys now wrestling in the 40s and 50s, but things are different then. You know, so you can't compare. It's apples and oranges to me anyway. But I like the fact that – He hung in there with Magnum and Nikita, making Nikita the monster that he is. Let me tell you, I agree with you, Scott. I think he should have had a run as world champion. I know that people think we're crazy. You know, Nikita wasn't the greatest wrestler in the world, but neither was Hulk Hogan. You know, I know.
Good point.
There's just some guys that have it, and he was such. You know, because the whole thing, the sentiment with the Soviet Union at the time, I think they could have really capitalized on him being world champion because you'd want to. I mean, who would not want to pay to see the Russian at that time get beat? You know, this monster Russian that looked, you know, and then, you know, I know like, you know, Rocky IV came out, I guess, around like 86 or so in this year. And, you know, like that whole thing and having that monster Russian boxer heel, you know, like nobody could beat him. You kind of made Nikita like that. Come on, you know that you'd be packing houses. People would want to see him get beat every single night. I think they missed something there. Not listen, Ric Flair is a great world champion. Don't get me wrong, but I think you couldn't have done it with Nikita for many years. Like Ric Flair was a champion that could be a champion for many, many years. But if you wanted to catch lightning in a bottle and you wanted to make some big cash, making him world champion at that time, I think would have been maybe Crockett would have survived. Who knows?
I don't know, you know. But I feel like this closing angle, this is like, I know he had the title feud with Flair back in 85 during the summer, but this feud right here, this angle right here, this right here cemented for me, Nikita Koloff is a star. Like he's got full on star treatment at the end of this match. Took out, like, the Dusty Rhodes sickle, like, Dusty's sell of that sickle is probably one of the best sell jobs I've ever seen Dusty take. Like, he took it like a champion.
You know, let me tell you something. Dusty could sell. You know, I know that he gets a lot of criticism for many different things, but one thing that Dusty could do, Dusty could sell. When he really is into an angle and he wants to do something and you want him to sell, he will do it. And I think he had a lot of belief in Nikita. So you know what I'm saying? I think he had a lot of belief in Nikita. And that's why, you know, Nikita kind of shot to the top pretty quickly, if you think about it, for somebody that had no idea about the business at all.
Yeah, but like I said, like that, when he pushed Baby Doll, like the heat from pushing Baby Doll out of the way and then him just, because he was going to sickle the shit out of Baby Doll. Like it was this, I can't express enough how great this segment was. I don't think we could do it proper justice. Probably one of the best angles we've ever seen. And it's just so great. So go out of your way. If you haven't seen this match, go to Mid-Atlantic on February 8th, 1985 on the network and check this match out.
I didn't know what to expect when you put it on here, to be honest with you. I really didn't. So you kind of shocked me. But I think the whole package, you know, I know Scott went 3.75, went 3.5, you know, split hairs,
I guess. Yeah, I'll go 3.25. Yeah, we're all splitting hairs.
So we're all in the same range. I just think it was just so well done. Yeah, the match, was a 2-star match. You know, let's mm-hmm. call it what it was. But it was better than I expected it to be, on paper. But just the way they set this all up, and just this angle right here, like you said, made Nikita a star.
Absolutely. So yeah, go out of your way to watch it. So guys, I'm going to call an audible here because I missed a match totally for January 25. So we're going to back up and we're going to talk about that match too. So I apologize. We record live, but I want to go back and talk about it. And I don't want to skip it because I do like this for one reason, because this is one of the first times that we've truly gotten to see Arn and Tully team up. And it is actually January 25th. So we're going back to January 25th and then we'll close this show out with our awards for the month. We are going to talk about, it is the Italian Stallion who, again, is one of those jobber guys who could get a win here and there, but also could be put over or put somebody over, but then can also win a match. But he's once again teaming with Don Kernodle, who, again, is that good hand they like to put in the ring, and he's taking on Arn and Tully. So I wanted to talk about this and get your thoughts. So Tony opens up wishing a couple for Nevada a happy 50th anniversary. I know early on in this podcast, we used to enjoy those where he would do the anniversaries we haven't seen in a while. So that popped me a little bit. Stallion opens up hot with a monkey flips and two arm drags on Arn and Tully that surprised me. David Crockett, by the way, Dr. G, David Crockett calls Kernodle a good one, which translation means he's okay, just like when you call people a good hand. So David Crockett stole your line in this match.
Well, you know what? He should pay me for some you know, rights for that, you know.
He should. He definitely should. But match, I think, gives some pretty good shine to the face team to start. I like the struggle. There was a struggle where Tully kept trying to stretch out, get a tag, but he couldn't get it. There's mostly a lot of arm work by the faces and submission and pin attempts. The heels finally get the upper hand after Tully need a Kernodle's back. And then Arn throws Kernodle's shoulder into the ring post. I really like Kernodle as a face in peril. I think he's really good as he tries to fight back in this match. And then when Tully comes off top rope and he hits a hell of a power slam, like it didn't look like a fake power slam. It's like Tully leaped off the top rope and you can actually see Don Kernodle struggle to do the power slam, which I thought brought a bit of realism to it. He tags in Stallion. Stallion botches a move on Arn on the ropes and it's supposed to be a sleeper. The ref gets distracted and Tully comes off the top rope, hits Stallion. And then the heels do what I thought was a pretty great maneuver, a double gourd buster where they both hold him up and then Tully lifts him up to go higher and then hits him with a gourd buster. I thought this was a pretty fun 10-minute fun match for TV for a Saturday night show. I actually went 2.25 on this. I did not dislike this, Scott. What did you think?
I went 2.5. I really enjoyed it. You mentioned that power slam off the top. I have that as well. That was really cool. That looked Steiner brother-esque right there. Mm-hmm. And the gourd buster was, I'd never seen that move before. If I had, I'd forgotten about it. That was pretty badass. But yeah, it was just a fun match, and we see how great Tully and Arn are as a tag team, which is obvious foreshadowing.
Yeah, a little bit of a couple years prior to their glory, we get to see them. This is one of the first matches I watched that they've actually teamed together that I liked. And that's why I didn't want to forget this match. I almost forgot to talk about it, so I apologize for going back. But really, really fun TV match, Dr. G. What did you think?
I went 2.5 like Scott. I pretty much, Scott, not to even repeat what you said, I agree with everything you said there. And I just love that gourd buster. And you started seeing like this team gelling right here. Like, you know, this is a future tag team right here. I mean, maybe at that time we probably didn't realize it. But now that I'm watching this back, you know, almost 30 years later, you kind of see the formation of a great tag team for the future, as we know they would become. So,
yep.
Good stuff. So 2.5 stars on this. It wound up being better than I expected. Again, looking at it on paper, I know Kernodle, you know, he does a pretty good job, but with the Italian Stallion, I wasn't sure how it was going to be, but I wound up really enjoying it.
Yeah, full disclosure, I almost bypassed the match, but I was watching something else and I let it run and I started watching it and I'm like, holy shit, this match is pretty good. Because I'm like you, when I see Italian Stallion, I'm like, okay, jobber match, move on, right? But then I saw Kernodle was in it, and I said, okay, Kernodle, Dr. G, good hand, let's watch it. And I'm glad I did. It was a really underrated gem that if you just want a good, solid 10 minutes of fun tag team work that you're seeing the blossoming of one of the greatest tag teams of all time, this is one to watch. So I'm glad. Again, I'm sorry I went back to it after the fact, but I did not want to miss it because I thought it was a rare kind of find for people to go back and watch. So go ahead and check it out. So guys, that actually takes us to the end of January. So we covered a lot of ground this month. I mean, obviously a lot more happened in our first half of January. We had some fun matches and really kind of, I don't know, kind of on the fence promos. But I think the matches we got on the second half have been pretty good. So we'll go right into our awards. So our David Crockett Award, which means it doesn't have to be David Crockett. It's like the best moment or thing that happened on this in this month of January. So the David Crockett Award, Scott, what would you give the David Crockett Award to?
This is hard for me. I went with the Flair Garvin skirmish, like that whole thing. But this was like 1A and 1B with what we spoke about with Nikita and Magnum and Ivan and Dusty at the end. But I like the Flair because it made both of them made this, like Nikita a threat and made Garvin a threat as well. But since they're going for the world title, I just had to make Garvin and Flair the David Crockett Award winner.
Okay. Dr. G, David Crockett, moment or thing that was best on this month?
You know, I was having a tough time with the two angles that Scott were talking about. So But I'm actually going to go, especially after even talking about it more on the show, I'm going to go, believe it or not, with the TA, you know, the TA with Nikita and Ivan and all. That angle brought Nikita into superstardom. And although, like I said, the angle with Garvin was awesome as well, too. I really enjoyed that. But I just like this one a little better. I was marking out a little bit more on this one. Nikita too. I think it just kind of, I don't know, I just had a, you know, especially talking to him about a bunch of the stuff that I kind of put it over for me. But you could do one and one A, easy on those two angles. But I had to pick one, so that's the one I'm going with.
This one's tough though, because you opened up January 4th hot with the Tully baby doll angle, right? Then you have all the Arn stuff with the boot and his heated stuff. Then you have Flair Garvin. I'm going to have to go. I think I agree with Dr. G. I think the 2-8 match and angle with the Koloss and Magnum, like, I think that's a late runner for one of the best segments we've watched in the history of this podcast from an angle standpoint. So I think I'm going to go with Dr. G. I think I'm going to go with the Nikita stuff at the end of that 2-8 match. So, yeah, I loved it. Okay, so this one's going to be tough, too. The Arn Award for the best promo. So, Dr. G, I go to you first. What was the best promo on this show? On this month, I should say.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's all Arn.
Yeah.
Arn wins his own award. You know, I have to be honest with you. I just wrote down all of Arn. I thought he was the best. Hands down, there was no one better than him. There was not even a promo that even touched any of his promos. Now, if you're going to ask me to pick which one, that one's a tough one. I'm sorry. I just say Arn.
I will go with that. Okay? Yeah, it's fine. I'm going to go with Arn too, but if I had to pick one out that really related to the times and the way people thought and just a chauvinistic pig point of view, I would have to go to the one where he talked about women's places in the kitchen and making babies. That's a pretty amazing promo for the time. So that I'm going to go with that.
Okay, if you had to have me pick one, I guess I would have to go with that one because I was trying to be nice. But yeah, that one was phenomenal. But honestly, he is the MVP promo guy of this month.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, what do you think? Best promo, Arn Award?
Yeah, I'm just going that Arn Flair promo on 1-4. Just the combination of Flair acting like the dead fish on the ground, Arn saying the women's only good for two things. So that's just some great promos, but I think that's my top tier one. And I was like, had that penciled in. I was like, I'll see if something beats it, and nothing beat it.
Absolutely. So this one will be interesting. I'll be curious because Scott might go, I think Dr. G and I might be aligned, but I think Scott might go different. The Dusty Broken Leg Award, which is the best angle award. So the best angle we saw here in January, Scott, what would you say it is?
See, this is rough for me because I had the 1A and 1B, and I think I'm just going to stick with Flair and Garvin because you guys have seen more Garvin than I have, and this made him a legitimate star when you knock out Flair and then sit on his chest.
Yeah, nice. This is tough. It is tough. This one's tough. It's very tough. You know, I could also go with the Tully and baby doll stuff at the beginning of January 4th. You know, the Garvin stuff, I really love the knockout and then butting heads. But yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Nikita on the best angle, Dr. G.
You know what? I was having a tough time with this myself. But I think you and I are in line there. The Garvin stuff was awesome.
You know, you could actually pick both. Like, it's 1A, 1B. It's like either or. Yeah. It's really, you don't lose in either one of them. They're both so great.
No, but if you had to, you know, you told me, George, you have to pick one, then I'm going to have to go with the Nikita. Because, again, that just, maybe it's just because it took me by surprise. And when you put that on there, I'm like, okay, why is this on here? You know, like, it wasn't Magnum versus Ivan. I wasn't really that impressive looking at it on paper, but then when I watched it, I was like, wow, that's why you put this on here.
Dr. G, so. That's why I watch every single show to make sure I don't miss something that's relevant.
You do a great job, and we appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it too. It's a lot of fun. All right, here we go. This should be a good one. The Jimmy Valiant Award for Worst Match. Scott, I'll go to you first.
Oh, come on. We all know what it is. Crusher Khrushchev versus Pez Watley. Like, it was horrible. And it, it's sad that this is how bad Crusher Khrushchev was this month. The match where he broke his leg is not my worst match of his.
All right. Worst match for me, Dr. G, would have to be Valiant and Eaton. I think that's the one I scored the lowest. What did you pick?
Yep. Just looking at my notes here. Yep. That's the one I picked as well. But
so Art and Valiant totally both off, won their, Scott. So Art and Valiant both won their awards tonight.
Yeah. That's. Khrushchev was pretty bad. You know, guys, did he actually break his leg or was it his knee?
I don't remember. Because
I was looking that up. Everywhere I looked, it said knee, but
maybe it was his knee. It's really irrelevant. He sucks.
Yeah. Right.
You don't want to wish anybody be injured, but yeah, he maybe he needs a break to come back better. I don't know. It was terrible.
Hope so. I hope he comes back better. Can't get any worse.
All right. So our Magnum Award, which is based on the best match we all, I think, enjoyed the most, was the Tully TA match at Starrcade. So what's the best match? For me, the best match tonight. Okay, so if I go just by a match, which is really weird, it's going to be TA and Ivan Koloff because of the angle and everything. But if you just want to go by a match, I think you can't sleep on Arn and Tully versus Stallion and Kernodle. But I'm going to go with Ivan and TA because of the angle. Scott, what about you?
Yeah, I'm finally getting Magnum TA as the winner of this. The TA versus Ivan, just for the whole shebang. But yeah, Sean, if we were going just by match, it would be the Tully and Arn versus Stallion and Kernodle.
Who would have thought that, right? That's a crazy thing to think about. Dr. G, what about you?
Well, I'm right in line with you guys because I guess you got to kind of include that angle, though, the part of
you
it
have
it was
to.
It did happen during the match, so at the end of the match. So, yep, I'm going to just stick with that and before I change my mind.
All right. Well, the Wahoo Award for least valuable player. I think I'm pretty sure who Scott's going to pick.
Crusher Khrushchev.
Bump knee. I think I'm going to have to go with Crusher Khrushchev as well.
Me too.
All right. And then finally, this is a tough one, but maybe not as tough as I think, the Ric Flair MVP Award. Scott, who's your MVP tonight?
I'm going with Magnum.
Wow.
I know my awards are all over the place, but we had the PWI stuff where he felt like a legitimate star. And then we had the Ivan stuff. And we even had the thing with Harley, at which we have forgotten about from the 1-4 episode.
That's a great point. We had a lot of Magnum tonight that there was so much that happened. It's easy to overshadow everything that was so great on this. Like, just so much good shit happened. But yeah, I get it. I could see why you picked Magnum. Dr. G, how about you? MVP.
I've been thinking about this. This has been killing me all day. I can't. You know what? I'm just going to go because I just love this. I'm going to go with Arn. I just love Arn. Arn's just totally. He is the MVP. He's involved in everything. And he was phenomenal. I mean, I know we didn't see a lot of in-ring from him this month. But everything that he did around all the he to me is the glue for all these a lot of the storylines that are going on. He's somehow involved, and he has a big part in each angle. So I'm gonna go with Arn.
I am gonna go with Dr. G. So Scott, you make a great point. You have the Harley stuff with TA. You have the PWI segment. You have this right here, this Koloff stuff. But let's really rewind the clock a little bit on Arn. Arn won the TV title in the tournament. Arn had the best promo. By the way, Arn also had the best actual match of the show, if you take the angle out, and he had the best promos of the night. I got to go with Arn as well. It's such a Sophie's choice with all these selections, but Dr. G, I'm aligned with you. I'm going with Arn. So Arn wins best promo, wins MVP. I mean, Arn Anderson is just on fire right now, and I'm so happy that we're in 86 and now that Ole's injured, the good part about this is if you want to take a negative into a positive, we get to watch Arn excel in matches as a TV champion. And then we will get a few hidden gems in here like we did with the Arn and Tully tag team. So I'm really excited to watch Arn. And that might be the most excited thing I am for in 86 right now. Any thoughts there?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Scott, you're not totally off because I kind of made the decision really during this.
Yes.
Podcast because I had Magnum or
or Arn. So it was a very, very tough choice.
Well, that's the beauty in it. We have so many wrestlers that are on fire. Like, you know, we have Arn and Tully. Arn and Magnum. Flair was great. Tully was great. Garvin, besides a weird PWI thing, was great. Dusty, you know. Hell, if you want to throw in, like, non-wrestlers, Baby Doll and JJ, like, oh my.
Holy. It's like, they were all good. Yeah. It was just all good stuff.
Cornette. We saw Cornette. Like this company is firing on all cylinders, and I want to thank you guys for allowing me to hop on right before it takes off to the stratosphere.
Nah, it's a good time to hop on. They close out Starrcade, and they kick off the year right. And what is cool is, I think about January that I really like, is it's a reset. Like, we closed out Starrcade 85. We ended in December, and now it's like a reset. You're starting off with the whole Tully Baby Doll stuff. Garvin's clearly one of your top challengers. Dusty's got Arn and Tully. TA's moving on to Nikita. It's like all formulated, and it happened in a matter of like 4 weeks. They got all this stuff together, and you're off and running this year. Like, so much happened so quickly, and they do it so excellently, which is, it's just crazy to think that, how can we not figure out how to book like that nowadays? Because that's what's missing in today's wrestling, which is one of the reasons why we like doing this show. So
that's so true.
Yep.
Hi everyone, Callum again from Future Times. First of all, sorry I couldn't make it to the actual recording. Absolutely gutted. I couldn't record this episode with the guys as usual. But as you can hear, they've done an excellent job without me. They haven't missed me one bit. And they were talking about some absolutely excellent Crockett stuff from January of 1986 again, and a wee bit of February as well. Also, just want to apologise for any poor sound quality you have that might be coming across. That is, I'm not recording in the usual place or with the usual gear, so there might be a bit of interference, and I do apologise for that. But yes, January 1986 Crockett is absolutely superb. I don't think I'm going to be blowing anyone's minds with that observation. The January, the 18th, the Saturday night, two excellent promos from there. I agree with Scott that Nikita's shirt is absolutely fantastic. Didn't quite understand why Paul Jones would think that Russians want their help. The Russians want everything in their path. The year before, Paul Jones lost consistently to Jimmy Valiant and kept getting outsmarted by Jimmy Valiant at every turn. So don't understand why the Russians would want their help, other than the fact that at this point in time in the 80s that Baron von Raschke is from East Germany. That would be the only thing I would think. Although Sean would understand, given that Paul Jones is the Ric Flair of the mid-card, apparently. And yes, Sean, I will say that without you being here, so you've got no reply to that. I look forward to hearing his response in February if he wants to try and defend it. But the Russians promo was great. What was even better was the Horseman and Garvin stuff. It was absolutely fantastic. Excellent segment all round. Star power coming out the wazoo. Just pure chaos every way you turned. Ron Garvin becoming very suggestive in his comments again. After they're not going to make love, they're just going to wrestle. He comes out with Flair is the king of the rendezvous, and one day he'll need to rendezvous with me. I think that was very, very suggestive, but got the point across for Ron Garvin excellently there. The following week, Arn is just on fire. Tully again is superb. Dusty makes no sense whatsoever, but also somehow ends up making sense in his promo, and then you get the team, the first sort of teaming up properly in Horseman era of Arn and Tully. Match itself seemed a bit disjointed to me, and the crowd was sort of abnormally flat. For this one, they were quite quiet, and I was quite disappointed with the match, if I'm going to be very honest. One match I wasn't disappointed with was Magnum and Ivan from 8th of February, Mid-Atlantic. The crowd was nuclear. The start to the match was superb. The match, the post-match was unbelievable. Just everything about it from start to finish was fantastic. Apart from the Sam Houston promo that cut right in the middle of the match, which was very disappointing. But glad we got to skip over that one when we were talking about it. So just excellent stuff from the last 2 weeks in January and then the first bit of February, and just overall the start to 1986 has been superb. Awards wise, I gave the Crockett Award for the best moment to the Tully Slap. I really didn't see it coming, and that took me aback. I think I mentioned that in the first episode, what was happening when I was at work watching it. That was the quick explanation as to or to try and blow over why I was reacting the way I did. The best promo, anything that Arn did, I agree with Dr. G on that one. Anything Arn Anderson, whenever it was a microphone in front of his face this month, it was absolutely superb. The best angle, it's a toss up between the Tully baby doll from and specifically the January the 4th one, but I think I will need to go with the Garvin Flair Tully Arn from just the chaos that was surrounding the 18th of January. Worst match, that was the easiest award I've ever given out. It's Crusher against Pez for the Mid-Atlantic title, and yet Scott hits the nail on the head. It's unbelievable that a match where a guy breaks his leg isn't the worst match he had that month. So that is doing something. The botch-tacular finish just sort of summed up the rest of the match. Easy choice for best match of the month, Magnum and Ivan from the last Mid-Atlantic, from the 8th of February Mid-Atlantic. That match was just excellent from start to finish. I was going mental watching it. Johnny Weaver on commentary was going mental. He was so excited that he was trying to finish his sentence before it started, and he kept stumbling over his words. That's how excited he was. Again, very, very easy choice for the Wahoo Award for the least valuable player, Crusher Khrushchev, every day of the week. He was 0-2 in good matches. And unfortunately, he did have that injury that's ruled him out. So hopefully he can sort of take that and recoup and sort of watch some tapes of Flair and Garvin and Magnum and all the guys that do things well in the ring. And maybe he'll come back and smash people up. ... Not as obvious MVP. Now there was a lot of good stuff. Ron Garvin's in with a good chance. Arn's in with a good chance. Magnum in with a good chance. You've got Tully from the start. But I think I'm going to need to go with Arn Anderson. Everything he touched this month just turned to gold. But if we have more months where we are struggling to get to decide who's going to be the MVP, then give me more of them, because you know it's going to be high quality stuff. And January 1986 has started the new year of Crockett with a bang. So hopefully more of this to come. And if it is, just inject it right into my veins, please, because I enjoyed every minute of this. And again, I was really disappointed that I couldn't talk to the guys with it properly. But rearing to go for February, we've got some excellent stuff in February again. So can't wait for that. But that's it from me this month, or for this episode. So I'll just send you back to the boys, and I think Sean is gonna wrap up the show for you.
So anyway, guys, that'll close out January. So January 86, our first month of 86, is over. So here's what we're gonna do on our next episode. So our next episode, we are gonna talk about Superstars on a Superstation from February 7th, 1986, And really, it's four main matches we get to talk about. So you're going to have Garvin versus Flair for the world title, which I know, I think some of the people that I know put that on their greatest match list of all time in one of the, in the top GCW list. We're going to have Dusty versus Tully for the national title. You're going to have the Road Warriors versus the Russians. And we're going to have the Rock and Roll Express defend the World Tag Team titles against the Midnight Express. So four huge main events that we're going to get to talk about that I'm excited. I have not watched this show in a long, long time, so I'm excited to rewatch it and get to talk about it with you guys. I'm also hoping, I'm pretty sure Colin will be back for that one. And then the other part of our, our second part of our watch after that for February, we're going to watch Battle of the Belts 2. And if you remember, Battle of Belts of the 1, Dr. G, had that infamous Wahoo McDaniel versus Flair match that caused the whole Wahoo uproar that's been legendary since the start. But the main event of that, I think, will have a very different feel to it because it's Barry Windham versus Ric Flair, which we'll get our first peek under the tent at Barry Windham, which, if I remember it for what it is, I think we're going to be in for a fun time on both those shows. So, and then we'll, after that, we'll go into our February watch after we watch those two on our next two episodes. So really exciting stuff coming up over the next few months here on NWA Crock and Roll. But before we go, I would like to do some plugs. So, Scott, I'll go with you. What would you like to plug?
Yeah, just check out all the pods here. Everyone's just doing a great job and killing it with so much content. And that can be found on Twitter at @Scott_Shiflett.
Okay, and Trevor Murdoch's biggest fan, Dr. G, what would you like to plug?
listen to the NWA Saturday Special. I agree with you, Scott. A lot of great shows on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. So listen to everybody's show. Everybody puts a lot of hard work and time into shows, and we just have a great group here. So make sure you listen to it. I can be found on Dr. G PTB. Again, NWA Saturday Special, the new NWA we cover every week with the Podfather, Scott Criscolo. Drops every Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
All right. And you can find me at NWA Crock and Roll on Twitter and numerous podcasts across all the feeds. Scott and I do way too many together, both wrestling and pop culture. So, Scott, it's good to have you on another podcast with me talking about something near and dear to my heart. I think most of the podcasts we do together has a bit of a what do you want to call it? A bit of a comical flair to it versus this one where we kind of look at it really seriously and enjoy it. So it's kind of nice to have a pod where you and I are kind of watching things legit, if that makes sense.
No, that does make perfect sense. I totally understand that, and then listeners should as well, because our other ones, like, we are doing stuff to make each other laugh or hopefully make the viewer laugh. But with this one, I feel like, you know, even with Callum and Dr. G, it like we're all serious wrestling journalists.
Yes, we take our Crockett era wrestling very, very seriously. So with that, I am Sean Kidd. He is Dr. G, and he is Scott Shiflett. We will see you in a couple weeks where we'll talk about superstars on the Superstation. Take care, everybody.